What am I worth? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What am I worth? All of us have an idea of what we're worth. We think we're worth a lot more than we are, and we think we're worth a lot less than we are. Now, whenever I say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, what do you think of this? And Ingeborg says, I don't know. Ingeborg is telling me that she's not worth a thing. If I say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, are you happy today? And Ingeborg says, wow, yes, I am so happy. Everything is going my way. And she just got out of bed, you know. Everything's going my way. Everything is fantastic. I feel great. I feel wonderful. What's going to happen to Ingeborg? She's going to soar like a rocket. Nothing. What was that?
I do.
Oh, I thought you said I hope. I do. Right, that's the right answer. I do. And this is how all of us are. What are we worth? Are we worth the truth, or are we worth an illusion? Are we worth a temporary experience? Are we worth our past? Are we worth our future, or are we worth our present? Where do we place our attention? Where do we place our thoughts? Do we place our thoughts on something that's going to be? Something that was, or something that is? Now, we teach spiritual healing here at the University of Healing, and spiritual healing says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, what sort of thing are we thinking about ourselves? People come, I got cancer, help me. And we say, well, where do you want the other cancer? Where do you want more cancer? Well, stupid talk. You know, I've said this before. Don't talk stupid like that to me. No, no, no. Hey, this is a healing university. In healing, we do not judge anything. We do not judge cancer and say it's bad, and we do not judge good health and say it's good. We say, whatever it is you like, it is done unto you according to your thought. And if your thought is, I am whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect, I am whole and perfect, even in the appearance of not being that, you put that cause in motion, and eventually it will take place. And the eventually gets shorter and shorter and shorter the more you practice it. So you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and the condition continues, but I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and the condition continues, and then pretty soon the condition's not there and you don't even realize it. And so then another circumstance comes up in your life of somebody who's got a problem comes into your attention and they say, help me, I'm drowning. And you say, all is in divine order right now. Bah! And the guy hits a log in the creek and he grabs a hold of the log and he swims to shore. Now, how do you know this? How do you know anything? The law of cause and effect does not have to have a textbook with it. It doesn't have to have a logic book with it. It doesn't have to have an explainer with it. You put the cause in motion, all's in divine order, and the log comes along and the guy grabs the log and swims to shore. Well, who would have thought of that? Who would have thought of that? You know? Or the guy is swimming along, and not swimming, he's drowning, and he says, help me, help me. And you say, all is in divine order. And a big boa constrictor comes along in the water. And a guy grabs a hold of the boa constrictor, and the boa constrictor takes him up on the shore and says, enough free ride, now you're on your own. You know? Why should the boa constrictor hurt him? We design the boa constrictor to be a helpful guy. Oftentimes he squeezes, but the thing is, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He can be a very nice guy. Can you see a boa constrictor swimming and squeezing at the same time?
No.
That doesn't seem too practical, but again, why think of it that way? Okay, so the guy is drowning. And you say, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. And the next thing you know, Tarzan swims up to him and says, hey, you want a hand? And he carries him to shore. Tarzan? Tarzan is a fictional character. Well, so are we. Everything we do is fictional. Everything we do hasn't been done before by us. Maybe it has. Maybe it hasn't. But as far as we know, it's first time. Okay? you have a friend who has a need, and they come to you, and you will not listen to any negativity. And they say, oh, I've got such a bad. And you say, hey, did you know you just won the sweepstakes for $2 million? What? Ha! Hoo-hoo! They forget all about their badness, you know. They forget all about it. Now, you say, well, that's not very nice because they didn't really win it. Well, they might. But did they want the badness? Did they want the badness? What's a way of getting the badness gone? Putting your mind on something else. You see, this is a principle we're working with. The principle doesn't say that it's a lie to say you won a sweepstakes and you didn't. See? The principle doesn't say that. The principle just says, oh, you're changing your mind. You're thinking of something else. Ho, ho, ho. You know? And the other is gone. And this is the wonder of all these things in life. How much are you willing to pay for having a happy life? It means you don't think unhappy thoughts. If you think unhappy thoughts, you cannot have a happy life. If you think that, well, we like to tell the story about Ellen's son. Ellen's son was just puddling along in high school, you know, the last year, and he wasn't giving his best, but he sort of lost inspiration for some reason. And so the teacher said, you know, your son's not doing well. Come and see me. So Ellen went to see the teacher and said, what do you want to tell me about my genius son? And the guy said, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a rock here. She won't hear a word I'm saying. Send your husband in. So she sent her husband in. And he says, what do you want to tell me about my genius son? And he said, two. Maybe I ought to look at the guy under different eyes. Maybe I'll look at the guy as a genius, you know, instead of as having problems. And he did. And he graduated right on the top. You see, it's just a simple little thing. Now, they call their son a genius son because they could see through the illusion of him having a little problem, you know? Now, if you are an auto body man?
Yes.
If you are an auto body man and you go around and say, someone says to you, can you do this? And you say, if I had the tools, I could. Shut up. Shut up. You say yes. Somebody comes up to you and says, can you fix this? Yes. And if you don't have the tools, then you go and you get what is necessary to do it. And if you can do it, you can do it. Now, do the tools do the job? No. The tools are merely part of the things that you use to carry about whatever you'd like. Now, if I say to Ellen, Ellen, are you a great pianist? And Ellen loves playing the piano and she's quite good. Yes, I am. Well, where's your piano, Ellen? Where's your piano to prove that you're a great pianist? I don't need it. You know, she is a great pianist with or without a piano. You are a great body man with or without tools, right? Think about that. Just think about that. Now, if she is a great pianist, what will appear in her life more often than not? Pianos. Wherever she goes, there'll be a piano sitting there. And she'll sit down at the piano, and the music will come out of it just like a glorious fountain of love, you know? And you, wherever you go, tools will be available to you to work and be a grand auto body man. And no matter what it is, if you have in your mind the thought of who you are you an auto body man?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Sure took a while to get that out. Are you a great pianist?
Yes.
Are you a great writer?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Huh?
No, yes. Yes, yes.
Whoa, yes, yes, yes. With all your heart, bellow it forth into the universe and be it. And believe in yourself. Believe in anything you do and you will be a great, wonderful person in it. Now, if you don't really believe in yourself, you're going to tongue in cheek say yes. And the principle knows that. It knows that you're making a big joke out of the thing. And so it's going to make you very, very bad. Because it's going to give you the opportunity to prove yourself, and you will not have the skill to do it. But if you believe in yourself, you'll have the opportunity. We had a youngster coming here from Switzerland, and Sabrina, a little girl, 11, 12. And so she loved to play on the piano. She couldn't play, but she loved to play on the piano. So all of a sudden we heard her playing on the piano. We thought, my goodness sakes, she can play. And we went into the living room, and here she'd put a little disc into the piano, and it played the music. and we were just delighted for her, you know. But she played. Sure, she played with a disc, but she played. And, you know, she's got wonders standing before her, because she's putting causes in motion of wonderment. Now, what am I worth? You are worth whatever you think you're worth. And it's not a matter of dollars. You are worth quality. You are worth precision. You are worth love. You are worth everything good, beautiful, and wonderful in this world if you're willing to speak the truth in the face of what may not be appearing. Because at the moment, you don't have any auto body tools. But does that make you any less an auto body man?
No.
All right, but don't ever forget that. Now, at the moment, you don't have an oven before you, but are you any less a baker?
No.
All right, so what is it that you want to do more than anything in the world? And if that's what you want to do, get in there and work for somebody and give them your very best and be the most fantastic, whatever you're going to do, baker or auto body or whatever it is. And the doors will open for you in no time at all to have everything that your heart could ever desire. And you will not have to beg for it. You will not have to use things that are less than perfect for you. You see, a good artisan can use any tools to accomplish his goal. A poor artisan can have the finest tools in the world, and they often do, and put out miscellaneous, mediocre, inferior materials. That's the way it is. Just because you're wealthy and can buy anything you want doesn't mean you know how to use it. And, you know, think about it. In ancient days, what did they use to paint pictures on the cave walls? Sticks and burnt stuff and what have you. And then later, when they carved hieroglyphics on the temples and on the pyramids and stuff, what did they use? They used whatever they had, metal or stone axes. I don't think they had metal at that time. And so they probably used a stone axe. And can you imagine using a stone axe? The tip would soon go down, and you'd have to get a new tip. You'd have to make the tip. Oh, boy, there's a lot of fine things. But they did it. And then, in the middle of nothing, they had a hot, hot, hot heat. And they threw some things on it. And all of a sudden, they had some metal there. And said, how did we do that? And so then they pursued the metal and came up with lots of lovely things. You see, when you dream in the now, knowing that whatever it is, who you are, that will be. It is done unto you according to your belief. And that's mighty wonderful. Have a lovely morning. Do beautiful things and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.